The protests that preceded the Pope's arrival bespeak a complex attitude toward Islam in Turkey. There is now an Islamist party in power in Ankara, but one that has notably moderated its views. Very few Turks favor adopting Islamic religious law as the law of the land. In fact, one of the founding principles of the revolution that led to the modern Turkish Republic in the 1920s is secularism. The same word is often cited to describe Pope Benedict's approach to the papacy. It's said that he is hoping to reverse the secularism of modern Europe. And we're going to hear now from two people who have made a study of secularism in different contexts. Dr. Sona Çaptay of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy has studied Turkish secularism. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Çaptay. And Damon Linker has written about Pope Benedict in the New Republic, and he's the author of The Theocons, Secular America Under Siege. Welcome to the program, Damon Linker.
Hello.
First, Sona Çaptay, when Turks speak of secularism, or I've heard it translated sometimes as laicism, as a pillar of the Turkish Republic, what do they mean?
It's interesting you mentioned that the word, there are two words to refer to secularism in Turkey. You can call it secularism or you can call it laicite, which is basically a French word. Why two words? Because it really is not about secularism. It's also about being a laic country in the sense that this is a system that provides freedom from religion, in addition to providing freedom of religion in the American way. And why is it necessary for this society to provide freedom from religion? Because Turkish secularism came out of an experience of domination of this country for hundreds of years by an established religion, just like it was the case in the European continent, where French laïcité, French secularism, grew out of this reaction against the Catholic Church. In Turkey, it grew up a reaction against the domination of Islam. So the idea was not only to provide people with freedom of religion, but also freedom from religion, and saying that we need to make sure that this is a society in which religion is relegated to the private sphere and does not dominate the political discourse of the public sphere.
But one could lead a private life, a family life, or indeed a civic life, without necessarily having to square that with Islamic principles.
Absolutely.
Well, Damon Linker, let me ask you, when Pope Benedict the 16th, when you write that he is hoping to reverse the tide of secularism in Europe, what does he see secularism as?
Well, he sees the French model, which is actually very much been adopted by the Turks as well, as the problem. And to the extent that that French model has been adopted throughout the continent, he would like to see it reversed, not in the sense that he really wants a Catholic established church within European countries. What he wants is a much more forceful role for the church in defining a kind of public philosophy for the various countries of Europe.
Sona Çaptay, do we see in a relationship between Turkey and the rest of Europe, which is giving Turkey a hard time about joining the European Union, that they have a lot in common here when it comes to struggles between secularism and religion?
Well, ironically so, because not only secularism, but also a lot of other fundamental Turkish institutions, the idea of a westernized state, the idea of a nation state, all of these are really rooted in various other European countries from which the Turks drew inspiration in the 19th century and 20th centuries when they were modernizing. So Turkey looks amazingly like France. But I was in Paris for meetings a few months ago, and I told this same thing to some French foreign ministry officials, and they were appalled that I would suggest that Turkey and France could be similar. And this is what upsets a lot of Turks, that the country is so similar in structure, in philosophy, in the way it practices secularism to these European states, and yet it's never good enough for the Europeans for whatever reason.
Damon Linker, do you think that when Pope Benedict looks at contemporary Europe and finds something missing there, which he would identify in this particular age as the advance of a kind of liberal secularism, that he's got a point? Is he having to cope with the fact that there is a missing spiritual dimension to European life today?
Well, it is true that Europe, and especially France, seems to be undergoing something like a malaise at the present moment, especially since the defeat of the EU constitution, a vote and referenda in France and the Netherlands. There's been a real sense of soul-searching about what direction the EU should take and what the continent as a whole stands for. And we shouldn't be surprised that the Pope, as the leader of the Catholic Church, would see this as primarily a spiritual issue. The question is why the Pope believes that the answer to this, rather than, say, a private re-evangelization program, say, sending missionaries out to European cities on street corners and trying to convince people to go back to church, instead of that, the primary rhetoric of the Vatican has been in favor of this public role, the thought that somehow European nation states ought to adopt more of an aggressively Christian and even Catholic model and ideal for talking about political matters. This seems both incredibly unrealistic that this would ever happen today, and then also very questionable given Europe's very rocky history of sectarian tensions and civil conflict that's taken them the better part of two or three centuries to really move away from toward a more settled politics.
Sona Çaptay, in Turkey, the secularism of the 21st century and even the late 20th century is in many ways less extreme than it was in the early days of the Turkish Republic. One can hear the call to prayer in Arabic, even coming from mosques, something that Atatürk may never have abided. Does it tell us that indeed people will rebel against a certain militant secularism that doesn't give enough room for religion in their lives?
No, I think what it tells us is the following. I mean, if American idea of secularism is one that provides freedom from religion because people came to this country, among other reasons, to practice their faith freely, whereas they were persecuted in the old country, and so the idea is to provide freedom of religion for everybody and the government having equal distance to all faiths, the European idea was to have freedom from religion because religion dominated these societies, and they said enough with that. We'll not only turn the power relationship around, but it will also dominate religion. So you have these governments that established control of religious establishments. So I think Turkey is like Europe when it comes to this relationship between church or mosque and state, in the sense that it's a country in which the government controls some of the religious establishments and institutions, like in Germany or in the UK. But it's also like America, in the sense that despite secularization, religion remains important for a lot of people. And this is where it differs from Europe. And I think the Pope is kind of jealous. He's going to this country which is secular in the European tradition, but religion is still important. And he's saying, why can I not get that?
Damon Linker, do you think he's impressed with the power of faith, just not the one he'd prefer?
Yes, I do think that's true. I think that he would like to see the continent go back to something like a Christian version of Islam today. The problem, though, is that he's not really able to give a coherent explanation of how that might happen, because he wants to say that secularization has been the result of the disestablishment of religious authority and politics. And as we just heard, it's true that in Turkey, at least, you have very much that same model, and yet the continued vibrancy of faith in the private sphere. So if he wants to give a coherent account of why faith has declined in Europe, he has to go in a deeper analysis to try to understand that he can't just blame it on secular political parties and the kinds of things that he tends to focus on.
Thank you both very much for talking with us today. Damon Linker in Philadelphia, author of The Theocons, Secular America Under Siege, and Soner Çaptay of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and Georgetown University.
My pleasure.
Thank you for having me.